Is it welcome again to those who are with us and say appreciate your attendance very, very much. Always good to get together, so just a good welcome to you today. There is an outline, again, the bulletin this morning, if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. Comes from the text that was read to us. And as Frederick gave an excellent introduction, we're looking at the blessing that the Father gave the sons. So we titled this lesson, A Heritage from Dad. Heritage. In the lesson, I'm going to give you four things. You think about what should or what can or may fathers leave to children. In this illustration of Jacob and Joseph, Jacob left Joseph the ability, number one, to forgive brethren. Second, Jacob left Joseph an example of faith. Then number three, he left him knowledge of God. And then number four, precious memories. When a loved one dies, precious memories, as the song says, flood our soul. And in a funeral service, there's always time to remember the one who has died. Reflect on their life, and we share precious memories. And Jacob has died, and he must have left Joseph fond memories. Joseph probably remembered his coat of many colors. Maybe he remembers the time his brothers had deceived his father into believing that he was killed by wild animals. Maybe Joseph remembers when his younger brother Benjamin was held hostage in Egypt in order to get his dad and family in Canaan's land to come to Egypt. Maybe he remembered how Jacob was taught by his father Isaac, and Isaac by his father Abraham, who was called the father of the faithful. So now that Joseph's dad, Jacob, has died, there's memories. Yeah, a lot of memories. But now Joseph's father is gone, and memories are abundant, and God has called Jacob home, as we say. I don't know the author. I said, I may never be as clever as my neighbor on the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had, but I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish before my working time is through, but the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad, for I'll know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad. I read that, it seems like, and Christine has told me, it seems like all the poems, Brian, that you read about fathers, is fathers and sons. And she says, you know, fathers have daughters too. Don't change if I read a poem about father and son. If you have daughters, if you're a girl dad, just change the application. But here in our lesson are four precious memories or a heritage that Jacob left Joseph. Number one, the ability to forgive brethren. You see, while Joseph lived at home, his brothers, the Bible says in Genesis 37 verse 4, hated him. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. Joseph was envied, he was mistreated by his brothers, he was cast into a pit, he was sold by his brothers to people passing by, And then he was lied about to his father about him being missing. The people that sold him ended up with Joseph in Egypt. And while in Egypt, Joseph is falsely accused, he's cast into prison, he's forgotten.
Wow.
However, he was soon remembered and he was elevated to a high position in Pharaoh's court. Now, I always wonder when I think about Joseph in that present situation, I wonder if he thought to himself, well, wait till I get a chance to get even with my brothers. But that thought doesn't occur to Joseph. His father dies, and no doubt the brothers are wondering, what is Joseph going to do to us? We treated him rather badly. We sold him. How's he going to respond? In Genesis chapter 50, at the closing of the story, the brothers are there in front of Joseph, and he's at this elevated position in Pharaoh's court. Joseph said to them, and he says it twice, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Joseph, you're in a high position. You can treat me badly if you wanted to. But the first words, don't be afraid. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I'll provide for you and your little ones, and be comforted to them. And the next phrase, and Joseph spoke kindly to them. Wow. I wonder if I would be able to do that if my brothers sold me. They probably wanted to. Probably had that in mind on an occasion or two. But that's the heritage that we need to leave to every generation. As fathers teaching children, sons and daughters, teach them to forgive. Even brothers, family members. And there's a reason why. It's established in the way God treats us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Apostle Paul gives the admonition, be ye kind to one another. And then he adds to it, I want you to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here's the illustration, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Have I treated God shabbily, horribly? Yeah, there have been times. God, will you forgive me? Yes, I will, Brian. Sure will. I want you to forgive brethren. I want you to forgive others who haven't been so kind to you. Yeah. I want to teach our boys and grandkids forgiveness. Forgiveness. Because we all need it. Number two, Jacob taught Joseph to be an example of faith. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 29, Jacob asked Joseph to take his body to Canaan's land for burial. They're in Egypt. Jacob is about to die in Egypt. But wait a minute, there's the promised land, and all my family are buried in the promised land. So Joseph and Jacob's faith is, you're going to leave this land of Egypt. You're going to make an exodus out of this land and go back to the promised land. And when that happens, take my body with you. Wow, faith. In Genesis chapter 50, you know, that's in verse 24, that request is made. And Joseph does die at the age of 110. And sure enough, and I'll go ahead in the story, in the Exodus, in Exodus 13, verse 19, Joseph is already dead, and Moses is raised up to lead the people out of Egypt. And it says in Exodus 13, verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Jacob had already been taken back to the promised land. And now Joseph, when he dies, his bones are taken to the promised land. Example of faith. There's a great expectation. My faith says there's going to be an exodus. I watched him playing around my door, my neighbor's little boy of four. I wondered why a child should choose to wear his dad's old worn-out shoes. I saw him try with all his might to make the laces snug and tight. I smiled to see him walk, and then he'd only step right out again. I heard him cry, his voice so glad, I want to be just like my dad. I hoped his dad, his steps would choose sage for his son to wear his shoes. And then a shout and a cry of joy, a hello, dad, and a hiya, boy. They walked along in measured stride, each face aglow with love and pride. What have you done today, my lad? I tried to wear your old shoes, dad. They're big, but when I'm a man, I'll wear your shoes. I know I can. They stopped and stood there hand in hand. He saw his son's tracks in the sand. His words, dad's words, a prayer came to be, Lord, let my steps lead him to thee. Example of faith. That's the goal. That's what I want. I want to be an example of faith. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, you're familiar with the verse, where Paul says to Timothy, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Oh, think about it, Timothy. Your faith, you know where it came from? Dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you also. The faith that Christine and I have, I want to have that placed in our sons, our grandchildren, granddaughters, and grandsons. Yeah. It has to be in me first, doesn't it? Paul said, Timothy, your faith was first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. Generational faith. Power of example is mighty. You know, we have phrases like father, like son. A picture is worth a thousand words. Right, example. Or leave an example. We say, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Now, don't amen that. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Or we try to say to people, walk the talk. An example of faith. I remember a story I tell every so often. But it was Dennis Burchett's retirement from teaching. What, 14, 15 years ago?
Too long.
But his daughter Katie spoke at his graduation. And she said, in this illustration of what are you going to leave your children? But Katie said, my dad taught me honesty and faith. She remembers that. She wanted to share that. You know what my dad taught me? The principal at the school where Dennis taught also spoke. Her name was Linda Carlton. She was complimenting Dennis. She said, Dennis always had a joke to tell. They were always clean. They weren't funny, they were just clean.
They were funny.
But not only did Jacob leave Joseph an example of faith, and Lois and Eunice left Timothy an example of faith, Jesus left us an example. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this were you called. What's the objective? What's the goal? He says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps in attitude and action. Follow his steps. So we see two things. Dad, what are you going to leave your children? I want to leave them the ability to forgive. That's going to happen often in life. And I want to leave them an example of faith. That means I need to measure up. Then number three is knowledge of God. Paul said faith in Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But I want to be sure my children are taught God's word. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 23, it says, Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh are Joseph's sons. And then Machir, Joseph takes it down to that third generation. My sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and then Machir, grandchildren too. Joseph saw his children raised up on his knees and grandchildren. There's a dire need that exists throughout our land where people are fighting to amass different things in life, where they need to stop, and people and parents need to make time. They need to sit down and take sons and daughters and grandchildren on their knees. Now, I can't put my boys on my knees anymore. I have grandchildren. I think my boys, they're 100 and lots of pounds. And don't want them on my knees anymore. So now I put grandchildren on their knees, granddaughters. I remember my brother and me were sitting on the arms of my dad's recliner when we were really small. And Dad would read Bible stories to us. Rod on one arm of the recliner and me on the other. And then we'd sing a song too, always. Precious memories? Yeah. Moses taught Israel different ways to teach the children. Here they are. How am I going to teach my children? Deuteronomy 6, beginning of verse 6. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. Well, where does faith begin? Right here. What's the goal? What do I want to leave my children? Knowledge of God's word. Teach them diligently to your children the words that God commands. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Lots of different ways to teach. Yeah. Some people I know will say, Brian, I'm not going to influence my children in religion. You're always influencing your children in every area of life. And you're influencing your children with your lack of influence. You're telling them that religion or Christianity is not important to them if you're not teaching them, if you're not setting the example. They see that. Remember that? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. A picture is worth 1,000 words. I want to see that example of faith. I want to see it. See, they're always going to be influenced by movies, by television, music, media stars, friends, teachers, TikTok. They're going to be influenced. I want them to be influenced by you and me as parents. I always told my kids when they were growing up, I said, I was thinking, I hope you're, you know, they might say, oh, there goes Dad again, Dad's saying it. And I'm hoping they hear Dad's message from their coaches or from their teachers or from the parents of their friends. I want them to hear that same message. So it's, oh, it's that, that's just Dad. No. That's people that share responsibility. And I want them to hear my message of faith from others, from you. Leave my, I want you to help me to leave my children, my grandchildren, knowledge of God's word. The last one is just precious memories. All these other things, yeah. I hope my boys, when they get older, say, what'd your dad leave you? Oh, he left me the ability to forgive. He gave me, he left me an example. He left me knowledge of God's word. Oh, and they're just so many precious memories. They're just precious memories. In Genesis 25, verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. And then no doubt Isaac gave all that he had, Abraham to Isaac, to Jacob, and then to Joseph, and then to Joseph to his children. Mm-hmm. So we ask the question, Dad, what are you leaving your children? What are you leaving your children? Are you going to only leave them things that they can hold in their hand? Is that the only thing? Are you going to only leave them things that are subject to moth and rust and thievery? Is that the only thing you're going to leave them? Look what I've left you. Yeah, but you know, it gets old and rusty and it got stolen or lost. I want you to leave something else to your children. I want you to give them something in their heart that will take them to heaven. To get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside my chair one night. The child. He raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. And as I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck, and then I heard him say four simple words I can't forget. Four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They startled me. I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. Ooh. I'll be like you. So there's the lesson. Give your children the ability to forgive, at least in this lesson, ability to forgive. Leave them an example. Leave them knowledge of God's word. Leave them precious memories. Precious memories. All of us need to begin our influence by becoming a Christian. And that's the invitation. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song that we call a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, the invite for you to become a Christian, a song of exhortation, because we encourage you to make that decision. So as the Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, he convinces his audience that they've murdered the Messiah, convinces them that they've crucified the Christ. In Acts 2, verse 36, it says, then Jesus says, this Jesus or this that you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They were convinced, we've murdered the Messiah, we've crucified the Christ. So with that thought in mind, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter with the 11 answered and said unto them, repent and be baptized. They'd heard Peter's message. They took it to heart. And now Peter says, now I want you to repent and be baptized. Every one of you, didn't leave anybody out, for the remission of sins and by the heaven's authority, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, that's us too, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves, salvation. Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. And then in verse 47, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who are those that are being saved and added to the church, the body of Christ? Those who gladly received his word and were baptized. That's the invitation that we extend at the close of every lesson. If you have not obeyed that gospel message, that good news, that salvation teaching, you're subject to it. And we have this time provided for you to respond and for us to rejoice with you in that decision. So we sing this song. And if that's your desire to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning. During the singing of this song, just simply come to the front, have a seat, and at the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you a question. What's on your mind? And your answer is, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. And we can do that. So let's stand together. We'll sing the selected song of encouragement. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, please come as we're singing this song.